Anybody here ever heard of the name Ibn Muqlah? We all owe this man. He have a favor upon all of us, each and every one of us. So I think he deserved to be known. That's why I choose him to be somebody I want to introduce to you. Ibn Muqlah, Abu Ali. His name Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Muqlah al-Shirazi, from Shiraz, Iran. He was born 886 in Hijri 272, 9th century AD, and 263rd century in Islam. And he died also in, he died in 933 or 328. He is the greatest Khattat. What's Khattat means? Anybody knows? Huh? Calligrapher. The one who write, you know? Calligrapher. He's the best one ever Baghdad known. He's the best one ever the Muslim world known. He's the most clever, smart artist that ever in the history of calligraphy. As a matter of fact, he is the one responsible, him and his brother, for shifting the way we write. In the before his time, before the third century, we used to write in a very different way. He switched this to a way that me and you use today. That's how the Mus'haf written today. In a completely different, if you compare any copy of the Mus'haf before his time and way after his time, it completely changed. Rahimahullah ta'ala. He was called Ibn Muqlah because he is the son of Muqlah. Muqlah, where is Nubuna? He was looking for a girl's name. Muqlah. Okay? Muqlah is his mother. And by the way, that's a common thing you find a lot of people are named after their mother or grandmother, Ibn Taymiyyah, stuff like that. So, okay? So he's the son of Muqlah. Why it was called Muqlah? Because her father, he used to say to her, Ya Muqlata Abiha. Ya Muqlata Abiha. You the heart of your father. He shake her this little girl, said, you the heart, you Muqlatu Abiki. Yani the heart of your father. So it became Muqlah, Muqlah, Muqlah. Then known the woman, nobody knows her name, Muqlah. Who was, today one sister was telling me about her mother's name, and she said she never used that name. Everybody called her a different name. You know, I just found out one of our friends' family, you know, all my life I know her name Saba. Then I found out she's not even, that's not even her name. Just Saba is just a name, I don't know. You know, I thought that's her name. And I found out she, that's not a name, it's just a nickname. So some people became that, he became Ibn Muqlah. Anyway, he was born in a house that's known of art and also very good calligraphers. He learned how to write in Arabic from his father, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. And he became so good at it, okay, him and his father, that they not only knows how to write, they became questioning the way Arabic is written at that time. And this is a good point. He's not an Arab. He's from Iran, from Fars. Okay? And, it's very interesting how the care for the Arabic language is never in history was associated with the race. Okay? So, Ibn Muqlah, rahimahullah ta'ala, basically, every style of writing, it used to be known as Kufi style. Kufi style. Okay? He, Kufi style is very much a style of writing that I will talk about it tomorrow to you guys when I talk about history of Mus'haf, writing Mus'haf, stuff like that. Okay? It is more of a square, the way they write in squares. Okay? He came and he changed the square to circle. So he starts making that curve, you know, the alif. The cap, it's more of have a like a circle shape more. Then he invented what we call today the calligraphy, if you ever heard this word, thuluth and nasr. النسخ is all the masahib print in nasakh today. The Arab masahib. Okay, in nasakh. That's, he invented that handwriting. That's his invention. How to write the tha, how to write the qaf, how to write the, that's his invention. Okay? And a thuluth. Before his time, there will be about, there were 24 different style of writing. 24 طريقة للكتاب. خط. He said, no. He put them together in six. And he invented two of them. So he put the 24, from the 24, he said there is six. And he invented, he kept from this 24, الريحان والمحقق والرقاع والتوقيع. Then he added a thuluth wal nasr. He added these two, right. He wrote, what's the distance from the central of the letter to the beginning of the letter? How high it goes, how low it goes, above the line, below the line. All these details, he started writing documentation for it, so the people who comes later on, he doesn't need to be present in front of them to teach them how to write. Guys, we're talking about a very early time in science. This does not exist. This is only 4th century in Islam. For you to develop to that extent, this is usually happened centuries and centuries, like a 10th century, something like that, where you start developing science to that level, where you basically document how and what are the methodology to do this. He did that, rahimahullah ta'ala. And because of this, the way he teach people how to write, and he documented this in writing, his writing became so popular. And the principle that he put, how to start. You know how in English they tell you, for example, A. I don't know if you guys do this, or F. When you write F, where do you start? From the bottom or from the top or just a straight line, then you add the two on the side. There is a structure how to write. He wrote that structure. You'd start with noon. What do? You start from the left or the right? Do you do full or no? Where exactly? What are the distance could be? You know? And he will take clear measurement. And can you imagine the noon, every noon he writes, it's identical to the other one. Not a millimeter or an inch extra. That's just genius, rahimahullah ta'ala. Not only that, he also talked about the different kind of inks and the impact of the ink in the write, the different type of papers. He spoke about that too. And he wrote documents about how to sharp the pen, how to sharp it in a way that it will make you write perfectly. Is it this way, cut that way, how much angle, to that detail. And that's why he is basically, they call muhandis, يعني, like an engineer. He engineered the language. Yaqut al-Hamawi, when he wrote about him, he said, كان الوزير, he became a minister. He said, أوحد الدنيا في كتبه. One of the unique, no one like him in the world. في كتبه قلم الرقاع والتوقيع. The way you write, the way you make signatures, you know. لا ينازعه منازع ولا يسمو إلى مسامته ذو فاضل بارع. Nobody can challenge him, nobody can be compared to him. الثعالبي, a very famous scholar in Arabic language, he said, his handwriting, يضرب به المثل في الحسن. It's an example when it comes to beauty. It is the best handwriting in the dunya, in the whole world. No one ever have seen handwriting like his. Okay? He wrote many books about writing, about like what I told you earlier. Okay? And what we have today, that's what they said he wrote. But the only book survive is one book. Okay? رسالة الوزير ابن مقلة في علم الخط والقلم. It said, he wrote like a book, ابن مقلة in الخط, in calligraphy and pens. That's only one book survive that we have left behind. Just to show you how beautiful his handwriting, during his time, he used to work for the king. So the king wanted to write a treaty between the Muslims and the Romans. And when you write a treaty, how many copies you make? Two. Why two? Why two? Because they don't have a copier machine. Okay? Or picture. Okay? So you make two. One for them, one for you. So the king chose him to write it. Okay? It was so beautiful, so decorative, that the king take it and he frame it and they put it in the church. Why in the church? Because everybody come to see it. They consider it a piece of art, not a political document. And for generation, it remained in the church displayed as a piece of art. It's so beautiful. Okay? He lived in a time which is so unstable. And that led me to tell you, also his life was very unstable. He started as a simple writer with his father, write for people, letters and stuff like that. He charged them for it. He got some money. Then he became famous a little bit. He worked for the government in Kharaj. You know, the Kharaj, like the one who collect the tax and stuff like that. Okay. In Persia, and he became a little bit financially better. He became a little bit more famous. And in the beginning of his life, during the Abbasid Caliph, Al-Muqtadir Billah, he was appointed to be in charge of this department, you know, and in charge of some villages and countryside, where he is in charge of the tax collectors and the kharaj collectors. Like, it's a form of tax that the Muslim used to collect at that time. Then he was asked to come back to Baghdad, and he worked in a Diwan. A Diwan is the administration department for the king, for the Khalifa, okay? And in it, where all the orders of the king and the rules are written, important letters to go to, you know, other governors or the governors, or written to other countries' leaders, anything like that, you know, it'd be written by this department. He used to be a writer there, because his handwriting is good. And he will do that. They give him 6 dinar, 6 pieces of gold every month. And one person discover him, high rank a little bit. This is right. Then he was suggested to be the one to write that treaty between the Muslims and, you know, and the Romans. Guess what? I forgot to tell you that. Which church they put to the treaty? Hagia Sophia. Hagia Sophia, the one that the treaty was there. Who found it? Muhammad al-Fatih. So from the time of the Abbasi Khalifa, which is the 4th century, all the way until Muhammad al-Fatih came, 1453, that's like 9th century to 15th century. That how long it was framed and hang on the church. Generation after generation. Anyway, he became, as I said, very famous, Al-Muqtadir Billah, which is he was during the early 4th century Hijri, 1316. Okay, he was the Khalifa, and he chose him to be one of the minister. He became wazir, yani very high rank. And he stayed in this position for 2 years. And he became angry at him, and he sent him to Faris. He sent him back to his country, okay? And he took all his wealth, all his money, all his properties seized, okay? Then the new Khalifa came, Al-Qahir. Any Khalifa want a one who writes very well. He always looking for poets, for people who, calligrapher, knew how to write very well. So he heard about him and he brought him back 320. And he became close to the Khalifa. People spread rumor in the court of the Khalifa that Ibn Muqla, which is everybody look, he's very famous. When he writes something, it became so famous for basically will be populated very quickly. Somebody told the Khalifa, by the way, Ibn Muqla is plotting against you with a man, okay? His name Ali ibn Bulayq. Ali ibn Bulayq was trying to rebel against the Khalifa, to knock the Khalifa out and to take over. And he said, by the way, he is in your court and he delivering to him information about you. Because you know, the calligrapher knows everything the Khalifa write. He have all the secrets, all the orders, all the right, you understand? It's like in his courthouse, in the palace. So he said, by the way, he betrayed you. Then he said, the soldier, go get him. He heard that he's been, order came to his arrest. He what? Run away. And he stayed, you know, hiding for about a year and a half. Year and a half on the run. And there is an interesting story about him, that how he moved from this life, luxury life, have servants, have everything, to live as a fugitive. He was seen wearing women clothes to hide, to escape being arrested. He was seen wearing Roman clothes, as if he's not Muslim, a Roman person, you know, just coming to the city to escape some village, escape arrest. He was seen wearing beggar's clothes. You know, he was seen like in many different times that where they try to catch him and he will be undercover wearing different clothes and will escape, you know, and run from one place to another. And he lived like that for about almost 2 years. Until this Khalifa died and someone else came, his name Ar-Radi. Then Ar-Radi, he heard about him. He said, tell him that he's safe. I know that he's not bad. Let him come. Oh my God. When he came, Ar-Radi really gave him more money than anyone else, gave him more position than anyone else. And he became number one in front of the Khalifa. Obviously, that's made a lot of people so jealous of him. Okay? So jealous of him. And he started talking to the Khalifa about how he trusted him, the Khalifa before you didn't trust him. They fill him up and he said to that, they made a deal. They said, you want to know if he's clean or not? Let the soldier go bring him to you. Then they went and they told him, by the way, you're going to be arrested. So he used to be in fugitive. So when he saw the soldier coming, what did he do? He started running. They capture him. The Khalifa said, now I know you guys right. You know, he only run because he's a bad person. So he took him and he put him into the jail. And he basically tortured him so much in jail, lashed his back. And this was 324. Then he did the unexpected thing. The Khalifa was so angry, in a moment of anger, he told the soldiers, bring him. And he stretched his right hand and he cut off his hand. Said, I'm going to make you never take a place again to anyone. That's what make you famous. And he cut it off. And he take the hand and he threw it in the river of Dijla, the river in Baghdad. And he said to the doctors, stop the bleeding. The doctor who used to go to him, his name is Hassan ibn Thabit, ibn Qurra. I used to go to him in jail. And he used to ask me about his son. And I tell him, your son is doing okay. And he will cry and cry over his hand. And he said, this hand that they cut off, I served 3 khalifas with it. I wrote for them all their books, all their letters. This hand that they throw in the river, wrote the Quran twice. I wrote 2 full copies from the Quran with my hand. This hand that they did this. And he used to mention all the things that his hand wrote. And he said, in the end, they cut my hand and I look like thieves. You know how the thief, you cut the right hand? And I said, the doctor said, I will tell him, don't worry, this is qadr from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this and that. Anyway, the Khalifa felt bad and regret that he cut his hand. And he said, he took him out of jail, this Radi. And he said, I will appoint you as a minister again. And he said, I don't have a hand. He said, I will appoint you to be my minister even if you don't have a hand. You can be my minister even without hand. Then he start trying to train how to use his left hand. So he start writing with his left hand. In about a year or so, they said that he started writing with left hand as good as, not as the right hand, but was so beautiful, so distinguished, so beautiful. Okay? But again, the same Khalifa Radi became so angry at him. And this time, he said, you know what? I figure out it's not your hand the problem. It is your tongue that you speak to, you talk too much. And he cut off his hand, his tongue. So he cannot talk. And, Smile, I forgot to tell you, he used to write sometimes with his right, you know, his hand is cut off. So he used to put the pen in his right side and he tied it with a rope to his arm. Yeah, this is, imagine, this is cut off, okay? So he put the pen, long pen, and he tied it to his arm, then he would write like this. Okay? And then he learned how to do with the left hand. Then after that, he put him in jail, and he cut off his tongue, and he put him in jail, then he released him to go to his house, and the Khalifa made an order. No one, if anyone, help him, serve him, he will go to jail and he will see the same, he will be treated the same. I will cut his tongue as well. So he will go and he's not allowed to hire a servant at home. He need to clean after himself, to clean his house by himself, not allowed to hire a servant. Anyone will serve him will be in trouble. So one of the narrator, I was reading his biography, one of the narrator, he said, I saw him, he goes to get water. Just simple thing, how are he gonna get water? He said, no one allowed to help him. He said, in other words, how to pull, you know how the water, it's a well. And you have the robe, in the end of the robe, there is a container, like a bucket. You know, you put it in. He said, I saw him with his left hand putting it, and he will pull, then will bite, then he will pull, then he will bite, and he will pull him until the water comes out, and he carry it all the way to his home. Very rough life. Said so dirty, nobody wash him, nobody help him. And he became so dirty, looked so like baggers. And they speak about how his look, even his wife not allowed to help him. Even his son not allowed to help him. Otherwise he will take the same distance. Anyway, and he was so sad. He made very, very moving poetry. He said, ما سئمت الحياة لكن توثقت بأيمانهم فبانت يميني ولقد حط ما استطعت بجهدي حفظ أرواحهم فما حفظوني. I did all my best to protect my Khalifa, my leaders, but they didn't care about protecting me. ليس بعد اليمين لذة عيش يا حياتي بانت يميني فبيني. He said, there is no any joy in life after I lost my right hand. You know, since my right hand cut off, I wish my life to be cut off short as well. Anyway, many poetries like this. And he said, I could not regret anything more than being close to these governors or governments. I wish that I never came close to them. He enjoyed that life for a while, but short period of time. But they flip against him, and that's what happened to him. Anyway, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died. Then he was buried, okay, in the house that he died in, okay? Then he was dug out from this house because it was a rental house. The one who owned the house, he said, no, I don't want a grave in my house. So they dug him out from the house and they buried him in his son's house. Then after his son, I think, passed away, they dug him out from his second house to bury him in the cemetery. Or the Khalifa said, dig him out and bury him in the cemetery. So they said, it's interesting. Ibn Muqla, okay, he became wazir 3 times in his life for 3 different Khalifa in his time. He made 3 journeys in his life. 3 journeys in life, traveled 3 times. And he buried 3 times in his life, in his death, I guess. So this 3 Khalifa, 3 journeys, 3 times became wazir, and buried 3 times, which is something not, you know, and he wrote the Quran 2 times in his life. And the copy that he wrote in the Quran, we still have. We have a lot of his students' work that he exactly copied his work. Like some of the Mus'haf copies, like was taken, somebody copied his work from the Mus'haf. And these copies still exist until today. If you do some Google research for the Ibn Muqla's handwriting, it is, and also the one that was in Muhammad al-Fatih time in Sofia, you can see that if you look it up. These paragraphs that I chose for you are people related to the Quran.